We're going to do something we haven't done in the morning service in a while, and that is I'm going to be recording a radio program, and so you'll probably get out a little early. You can beat all the Methodists and the Baptists to the restaurants today and get out there ahead of the crowd. So I'll be doing a message 26, 27 minutes long, and then I'll be putting an end on it, and it'll be on radio next week. We're going to be going camping this week. We do that at least once a year in the fall, and we'll be gone most of the week, and so I'm going to take this opportunity to make the radio broadcast. And you know, I only know one person that's ever complained about me not preaching long enough, and they know who I'm talking about probably. Generally, nobody complains when you preach too short. You know, that's the thing about being a preacher. The less you do, the more people appreciate it, and as far as the preaching. And so, anyway, we'll be done a little bit early today, and I do appreciate your attendance. You know, I know it's discouraging to you sometimes, discouraging to me, when you don't have the crowd that you would like to have, and we have so many visitors that come in, and, you know, you expect them to come back, and then they don't, and you think, well, man, I just must have blown it, the fact is, folks, is that, you know, when you consider the Apostle Paul and you consider the Lord and you consider the Word of God, there never was a big group. There never was a lot of people. As Paul said, my last answer, no man stood with me. But he said, the Lord stood with me. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, about the peace of God and peace with God. So that's what we're going to do. All right, if you would this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read just one verse there to get started this morning. And I want to talk to you about peace. And I'm not talking about world peace, even though there's an awful lot of talk about peace today over in the Middle East and so forth. And over the years, there's been all kind of peace accords, and they have been benefited very little. There's an awful lot of desire to have world peace. And we know from the Word of God that the only peace that's ever going to come upon this earth is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and rules for 1,000 years. But the Bible says, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." You know, we're living in a time when there's an awful lot of distress. There's an awful lot of trouble. An awful lot of there's financial problems. There's all kind of problems in the lives of individuals. People are sick. People have diseases that are incurable. And yet the Apostle Paul said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And so this morning I want to talk to you about how you can have the peace of God, and not only have the peace of God, but you can absolutely allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. Not just be there, but to rule. The first thing I want you to notice this morning in talking about this is that if you're going to have the peace of God in your heart, if you're going to have the peace of God, first of all, you've got to have peace with God. If you will, turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul makes a wonderful statement there in relation to justification. He says in Romans 5, 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul says a lot about justification. In this particular instance, he equates justification, or he connects justification, with us having peace with God. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Now somebody says, well, why would we need to have peace with God? Well, he answers the question right here in the same chapter. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." The reason we need to be justified and reconciled is because we in time past were enemies of God. And he says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." So we were enemies of God. We were at enmity with God, and therefore we needed peace with God. Look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about the law, and he says there in verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Let me say to you this morning that if you're trying to be justified by the law, you'll never have peace with God. Why? Because the law brought enmity. The law says that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And the law brings condemnation. Notice what Paul says in verse 21 of Romans 3. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." You see, the issue today is belief. It's not keeping the law. It's not joining the church. It's not doing some work in your flesh. To have peace with God, you must trust in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world. You see how those words are used? Reconciliation, justification. There was a barrier between man and God. We were enemies of God. The Bible says that we were blind and that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and that now we've been quickened together with Him. And so we are therefore justified by faith. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God is not angry with us today. God is not mad at you. God is not pouring out His wrath upon you. Now, I know some of you have probably heard people say in time past that the reason certain things are happening in your life is because God's trying to teach you something. God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to somehow chasten you and bring you into line. That is absolutely not true. Today, living in the dispensation of the grace of God, God is not exercising His wrath. That's why it's called a period of grace. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one reason that so many people in the world today don't have real peace is because they've never come to a place where they have peace with God. They're always struggling, always trying to figure out what is it I need to do to get God's approval. And you know, that's a sad state to be in. Well, you don't need to do anything to get God's approval. The Bible says you've been accepted in the blood. Your family might reject you. Your friends might reject you. Those around you might reject you. But the Bible says that you have been accepted in the blood. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of that came about when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So this morning, if you want to have peace with God, it only comes through accepting His free gift of salvation that was provided at the cross. The Bible says He's forgiven you all trespasses, and the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. That's really good news. And that good news is that today you can experience that peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, in verse 16, the Apostle Paul, once again, is talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified..." Now, I keep using these verses because I want you to understand, he says there, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Well then, in order to have peace with God, we must be justified. Then the question is, how are we justified? Well, he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Now notice the next phrase. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we're justified by faith in Christ and justified by the faith of Christ. So what is the faith of Christ? It has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died for our sins, believing that God would raise Him from the dead. We're justified by faith. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So once you get that issue settled, you can not only have peace with God, but then you can have the peace of God. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, Romans 15:33, he said, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." God is a God of peace. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, in every epistle he writes, he starts it out with grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God, and we can also have the peace of God, as we read there in Romans chapter 15. Go, if you will, over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God and peace with God. It starts with peace with God. And once we're at peace with God by trusting His Son, Jesus Christ, accepting the free gift of salvation, we can have the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 5. He said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Now, there's a lot of times people get the idea that because we understand that we are to pray dispensationally, when I say pray dispensationally, I want you to understand that you do not have the guaranteed promise of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that whatsoever you ask, you'll receive. The disciples were given that promise. He said, "Anything you shall ask in my name, you shall have it." In Matthew 18, he said, "If any two shall agree on touching anything, ye shall have it." Those promises were made to a specific group of people for a specific time and do not apply to the church, the body of Christ. Prayer does apply. And Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing. Paul tells us to pray continually. And he said, "With all prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Therefore, you are to lay out before the Lord your request and your desires, keeping in mind what God says in His Word in relation to who we are today and where we live in the dispensation of grace, and understanding that Romans through Philemon is the doctrine for the church and body of Christ. So he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Notice the result. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, you can have peace that is, people just can't explain. People can't understand how people can have the peace of God living within them when things seemingly are so bad. Well, how do you have that? By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I think one of the primary functions of prayer is that it exercises in us the trust that we have in Him. I mean, you know, when you pray to God, you're in effect saying, "Lord, I'm willing to put this in your hands. I'm willing to depend upon you and your will be done, and I'm willing to accept that, understanding that you've told me in your word that your grace is sufficient. Let your request be made known unto him." Communicate with him. Talk to him. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." But let's read on. He said in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now notice, "those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Did you notice that? That is our apostle, the apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, and he says very clearly there, "those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," me, the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, "do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You see, your association with other people will not necessarily bring you peace. Your dependence upon other people many times leads to discouragement and despair. The Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you. If you are depending upon people for happiness and peace, then you're going to be disappointed. But the peace of God, the peace with God and the peace of God is always a constant if we are doing what God says to do. What did he say to do? He said, "the things which you have both learned and received and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, that tells me something. If you go back to chapter 3 of Philippians, notice what Paul said there in verse 17. You remember in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 14, Paul said, or 1 Corinthians 14, he said, "if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Let me just give you a brief word of testimony in relation to this thing about peace. I grew up in a religious system. I went to church every Sunday. I went to Sunday school. I went to church. I went to evening church. We went on Wednesday night. If there was a revival, we went every service. But whenever I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee in 1972, I was a confused individual. I was a confused person. Because I would read the Bible and I would see things in the Bible that seemed contradictory to me. And so I began to study the Bible and study the Word of God as I never had before. And it finally dawned on me that there was a difference in the doctrine prior to the cross and after the cross. At that time, I had been preaching for since I was 18 years old. So I've been preaching about 7 years, off and on, and doing youth revivals and so forth. But if you had asked me, what 13 books in the Bible did the Apostle Paul write, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. I'd had to go and do some research. I preached all of my messages out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I looked at verses like Matthew 18, where it said, "if any two shall agree on touching anything, ye shall have it." And that caused great confusion with me because I did pray for things. I did agree with people on things to pray for, and I didn't see the results. I didn't see anything happen. And then I began to understand the Word of God rightly divided. And you know, I was reading that verse in Philippians one day and it dawned on me where real peace comes from. It's being able to believe that the Word of God means exactly what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. And you can only do that when you rightly divide the Word of Truth. When you distinguish between the prophecy program and the mystery program. When you distinguish between the program for the nation Israel and the church, the body of Christ. And when you distinguish between those two programs and you see that that which is written to you is Romans through Philemon, and you quit trusting in those promises made to the nation Israel, quit trying to be somebody you're not, the nation Israel, then there is peace. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said there in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." In other words, identify those that are following Paul. That's the people you want to be affiliated with, he says. "For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even subdue all things unto himself. So what is the Apostle Paul saying here in Philippians 3 and Philippians 4? He's saying that the only way you're going to have peace is to acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Now listen, you need to understand, and I want people to always understand this, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Old Testament books, they're all equally inspired. They're all as much a part of the Word of God as Paul's epistles are. But what we simply see back there are things, for example, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Lord Jesus Christ gives the Sermon on the Mount. One of the things he says is take no thought for your life what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. Well, the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonian church, he said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. So how can you have peace in the dispensation of the grace of God while you're trying to follow Matthew 5, 6, and 7? You couldn't. But Paul tells you that if you want something to eat, then you need to work for it. You don't need to just sit back and depend on the Lord, because the Lord hasn't promised you physical provisions. He's promised you his grace. And he's told you if you want to eat, to work. Matthew chapter 6, he's telling the disciples there what to pray for. He said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he instructed them to pray to forgive those that had trespassed against them. Let's read back there in Matthew chapter 6 and just show you the difference. In other words, in Matthew 6, when he's giving them what's called the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Matthew 6, 14, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, you know what? That verse, if you claim that verse and believe it, that might cause a lot of turmoil in your life. Because there might be somebody you haven't forgiven something. There might be something you've just not been able to let go, and you've never forgiven somebody. Well, you know what the good news is? Paul said in Colossians 2:13, he hath forgiven you all trespasses. You see, those verses are contradictory information, but they're not contradictions because they're not written to the same group of people. He said, to one, you've got to forgive your brethren. Matthew 6:19, I mentioned a while ago, lay out for yourself treasures upon earth. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, or put on. And then Matthew chapter 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul went to the Lord and three times prayed that the thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan, would be removed from him? And God didn't fulfill Matthew 7:7 to the Apostle Paul. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So you know what God did? Instead of removing the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that buffeted him, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, folks, the reason that there's so much turmoil in the lives of people today is because of the absence of truth. It's the absence of truth. You see, somebody said one time, that little saying, you know, if you can keep your head when all others are losing theirs around you and so forth, you don't fully understand the situation. Well, that's not necessarily true. You can keep your head when all about you seems to be falling apart, when things seem to be going right down the tubes, as people say. Why? Because you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can keep your hearts and your minds. He said, the things you've seen and heard in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, that's why we put so much emphasis on rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we put so much emphasis on dispensational truth. Because it is through that truth that people are established today. And people are, and through that truth we can see the differences in the Word of God. And we can see that there are some instructions written directly to us, and we can function on the basis of those instructions, not the instructions God gave to the nation Israel. Not the instructions that He gave to the 12 and to the little flock, but the instructions given to us, the church, the body of Christ. Paul said in Romans 11, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. In Romans 15, he said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Doing what? Confirming the promises made unto the fathers. And then in that same chapter further down, he said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. You know, I always wonder why it is so difficult for people to simply acknowledge that which God wrote down in His book. And I know why it is. Because it is so hard to break the traditions that we've been taught all of our life. We're brought up in church, we're taught certain things, and we just assume that they're true because Mom and Daddy believed it, and their mother and daddy and grandparents believed it, and it's just been passed down from one generation to another. Can I tell you today that if you want real peace, number one, you need peace with God. You need to trust in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary, and plus nothing. There have been numerous people that have called and emailed me in the last two or three years since we've had this radio broadcast. And this is saying nothing about me. It's saying about the power of the Word of God that have listened to this broadcast and have trusted Christ and gotten saved as a result of the gospel that's preached. Not because of me. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You want the peace of God? Quit struggling with it. And just rest in the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And trust that, and that alone, and God will save you, and you'll have peace with God. And then when you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. How is that? By simply trusting in what Jesus Christ has done for you, and believing the instruction written to you. Understand, when God said to rightly divide the word of truth, those were not just wasted words. The words written directly to you in your Bible are the books of Romans through Philemon. We're to study all of it. We should learn all of it. We should know all of it. But the verses that are written directly to us as instruction are the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon. I hope that you'll study your Bible. If you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ today as your Savior. And if you are saved, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding by acknowledging your apostle and being followers of Him.